Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many who seek justice call for a level playing field of opportunity. There is one place where the field is level, and that's at the foot of the cross of Christ, the only basis for reconciling people of different backgrounds. Today, we'll learn why. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in a series on Christians, politics, and the cross, Erwin Lutzer is in Ephesians chapter 2, tracing what happens when people come together as followers of the crucified Christ.
And now our identity no longer is racial. Our identity is, he says, that we are of the household of God. That means that we have the very same Father. We have the same brother, namely Christ, and the same companion, namely the Holy Spirit, and that's what the new nation is all about. We can admire ethnicity. It has its advantages to help us to understand the contributions of the various cultures. But the minute you walk into the doors of a church where Christ is preached and where believers have come to saving faith in Christ, you have lost your ethnicity as being your identifying mark, and you are now a member of the household of God. Jesus said, "Who is my mother and my brother and my sister? But those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." And now the hard part. Fragmented culture, families breaking apart, single mothers. The responsibility, you see, of the church is to create a new family and to be the family for our fragmented, disengaged, disconnected, alienated, suspicious culture. And that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to create an environment in which those that are poor are going to be helped, those who are weak are going to be defended, and those who have gaping holes in their family structures discover that there are members of the body of Jesus Christ who move in, perhaps not being able to do everything that their families should have done, but to grant the help and the strength and the support so that together we can be what we should be as a church. Father, I pray that they shall be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be made one in us. That's the New Testament pattern. And you see, as long as I say to myself, America is a big place, and I can go to my home, and you can go to yours, and we come together only to sing the same songs and to hear the same message, we have missed the underlying commitment that Jesus is asking us to do, to be a family in the midst of any culture, but particularly one in which family structures have been shattered by the ravages of sin. That's our privilege. It's our privilege. On the way to church this morning, Rebecca was telling me about some members of our extended family. Great needs. And we do all that we possibly can at a distance to help. And I'm sure that you do the very same thing. And that's not only our obligation, that's not only our duty, because, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to do those things. That, my friend, is our privilege to represent Christ well in a broken culture. There's a third illustration. The new body reminds us that we share the same life. The new nation reminds us that we have the same family. You'll notice also that there is a new temple. It means that we have now the same purpose. Verse 20, he is building a new temple, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom also you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. This is one passage of Scripture, like many others, where you can't really do it justice in 2 or 3 minutes. Notice that all of the verbs here, by the way, are passive. God is the one that is doing it. We are being built. Christ is the foundation stone. And then the imagery is this. Now, we know that stones can't grow in real life, but Paul is saying that they can because it's only an image. It's a figure of speech. Remember when they built Solomon's temple, I should say, they went into the quarries and they hewed stones and they brought them and they did the hewing in such a way that when they fitted them together, it says that there was no noise of an axe or a hammer. They just fit because all of the fitting and the chiseling was done in the quarry. You know what God does, don't you? He goes into the quarry of sin and he picks up people whose lives have been checkered, lives that have been tossed asunder and torn apart because of sin. And he finds them and he chooses them and he brings them and he puts them into the temple and he puts them next to each other and they begin to rub on one another and they begin to smooth one another. It's a temple that's being built. And why is the temple being built? That's a good question. Is it so that we can all be happy, happy, happy? No. Before I answer the question, what should people say when they come to Moody Church? What is it that they should really say? They should say, well, the singing was wonderful, the choir performed well, the soloists blessed us. They always say that every Sunday. They can say other things. They can comment on the message. I'm sure they comment every Sunday. But I'll tell you what they should really say. Look at the text now. Being built together into a dwelling of God by the Spirit. You know what they should say? God dwells with those people. God is here. And sometimes the singing might not bless you. It always does me, but maybe your style is a little different. And sometimes the sermon may not bless you. It usually does me. You know, that isn't even that important. Do you come here to say this is where God dwells? God among his people. And that's what God is doing in the world. And you see, the fact that we are members of the same temple reminds us now that we have the very same purpose. And what Jesus is saying, that all this fragmentation, all the diversity that we've talked about, with different expectations and different backgrounds and everything, all of it now becomes one in a body, in a new nation, as stones in a brand new temple. Few important observations. First of all, the very high cost of unity. The high cost of unity. How much does it take to bring people together? Well, it costs Jesus the cross, and we want to get by on the cheap, don't we? We want to say, well, you know, we are singing the same hymns, and we do rub shoulders with these folks. You know that it takes forgiveness. Forgiveness, sometimes racially, for our insensitivities. And some of you African Americans, you know sometimes our insensitivities. It takes forgiveness on the part of all of the different races, accepting the other, because now in Jesus Christ, ethnicity takes a back seat. We are now one in Christ, and we are absolutely convinced that that which binds us together, namely this great work of God on the cross and the blessed Holy Spirit of God, is much stronger than anything that could ever tear us apart. That's our responsibility. It costs forgiveness. It costs inner strength, that we might be able to reach beyond our comfort zones and include within our friendships and our involvement people who are not like us. Now, you know your heart. I know mine. I gravitate to people who are like me, who think like me, who have the same, we can have the discussion about different topics because we always know that we'll agree and we are able to make sure that we reinforce our prejudices. That's the kind of people I like to be around. People who reinforce views like I have. And those are the kinds of people that you like to be around too. Tell you what the cross says. The cross says what you must do is to enlarge your circle. The cross of Jesus Christ says you must be willing to move out of that comfort zone, and you must be willing to set aside your individual preferences for the good of the other members of the body of Jesus Christ who are quite unlike you. A number of years ago, here in the suburbs, or in one of our suburbs, I should say, there was a man who ran for mayor. And I will not mention the suburb, but he ran on a very racist message. His slogan was, "Let's keep this suburb for people like us." And I say, shame on him. And I hope that the day never comes when we say to ourselves, "Let's keep this church for people just like us." No, let's keep this church for the people of God. For the people of God. It involves risk. It involves a death to selfishness. Because if there's anything that unity demands, it is selflessness. And a fundamental desire that we shall do all that we possibly can to repent of that which is in our hearts, that we might love across some very uncomfortable lines. So first of all, a word about the cost. Secondly, a word about the goal. Where is all this leading? What's God's intention? We know from Ephesians 2 that he has the intention of creating a new man, a new nation, a new temple, but where is it all going to end?
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're certainly going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to find out where it is all going to end. We here at Running to Win exist to be a blessing to you. We hope that our radio ministry blesses you, but also from time to time we make very important resources available. I've written a book entitled Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea for the church to return to its mission. I've written this book not because I think that politics is unimportant. I think it's very important. But I want us to go back to the basics and better understand what our real mission is here in this world. Christians, Politics, and the Cross discusses the way in which we can relate to the flag, the way in which we can relate to the cross, discusses some of the struggles we have in obedience to the state. Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea for the church to return to its mission. This book can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Cross, The Basis for Reconciliation. Another message in a series on Christians, Politics, and the Cross. Next time, this message will conclude. We need to think biblically and remember where our true allegiance lies. Pastor Lutzer wants each listener to have his new book, Christians, Politics, and the Cross. It's yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.